In association with Newsarama, welcome again to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. As Charlton Heston once said, the summer nocturne atmosphere electrifies this interview with author Brad Meltzer. Brad will be talking about his book Final Crisis, Last Will and Testament, the one-shot coming out today from DC Comics. We also talk about his plans for a new television show in the works. And we'll be discussing his win of the Eisner Award this summer for JLA 11, and a small tease for next week's interview with Brad regarding his latest novel, coming out September 2nd, The Book of Lies. This episode of Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where, as you know, you can get up to 35% off and no shipping on over $50 when you order trade paperbacks, hardbacks, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. In fact, you can get two of Brad's books in hardcover. How about the first volume of his run on Justice League of America featuring that Red Tornado story? The regular retail price is $24.99, but of course at InStockTrades.com you can get it for $15.74. Also the price of Brad's volume 2 of Justice League America in hardcover, The Lightning Saga, co-written with Jeff Johns. Again, regular price $24.99 at InStockTrades.com, $15.74. Don't forget about their sister site, Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com for all your pre-order monthly needs. You'll find major publishers up to 40% off the cover price. For more details, again, visit InStockTrades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. Now, we're joining this conversation midway because the first part of it is Brad talking about his book, The Book of Lies, which comes out next week. That will be presented when the book is released. But in the meantime, our conversation begins with good news that Brad is returning to the world of television. We all love Jack and Bobby, your fine show for the WB, and I understand that you have a new TV project in the works?
Yeah, I've been working on one for the past couple of months in seclusion, but with Jeff Marks, who did Avenue Q.
Oh, great.
And Marco Panette, who's one of the guys who used to work on Ugly Betty, and I have working on a show with the same Jack and Bobby team, myself and Steve Cohen. And it's basically the story of the greatest, biggest band in the world, bigger than the Beatles, bigger than anybody, and they're called the Romeos. They're going to be the biggest band of all time. They're going to write the songs that people make love to and that you dance with your kids at their weddings to and that you bury your family members to. But right now, they're just graduating high school. They're just four boys. And this is the story of how these boys become men. So it has a little bit of a Jack and Bobby feel, but for us, it's set in the 60s and kind of plays with very much that time period. Because if you look at the late 60s and you look at the time period now, the overlaps are uncanny. And you'll hopefully see the Romeos at some point, but right now we're still writing the script, so we've got a long way to go.
Wow, that's great, man. It's a cheesy movie called Birth of the Beatles, and I think Dick Clark produced it, and I think it was a made-for-television movie. But you go back to those early days, and I mean, I think you're right. I think the genesis of something like that is a really fertile place for stories.
But the other part of it is, for me, is, you know, when I look at the stories of the Beatles, and when I look at even, you know, again, they're not the Beatles, but, they're still as big as you get these days, U2, what fascinates me is, listen, I love seeing those shots over and over, the girls pulling their hair out and screaming and, you know, riding up bed sheets just to get up to the hotel room. But I love even more the idea that it were just four kids from Liverpool, four boys from Dublin. And they just, you know, just you and your buddies. And no matter, you know, how big Bono gets it, you know, and he can dump them all and leave them behind, he doesn't. I do love that friendship runs deeper than the success. And there's just a real story behind that. It doesn't just happen because you're nice. It happens because something ties the four of you together in a way that, you know, it becomes family. And we, again, thought it was just totally right for stealing and using for our own TV show.
That's really cool, man. Oh, I hope you get good music people.
I hope so. Listen, we got a long way to go.
I'm
we're trying.
That's great. Hey, you know, I was excited to hear that the Green Lantern project, that film, has some Jack and Bobby.
Yeah, you got three Jack and Bobby writers on.
That's crazy.
Trust me, you know, it's so much fun to watch, like, where everybody wound up. And, you know, there were points in time where they were on Desperate Housewives, and, you know, if you watch Brothers and Sisters, you'll see that Rob Lowe's character is actually named Robert McAllister. It's Bobby from Jack and Bobby, and it's because, you know, Mark Guggenheim is a sweetheart and totally put it on there. And I love that. And you know, the fact that this little show that got canceled so damn fast still has something to give somewhere, you know, makes my makes me smile in a strange, pathetic way.
Very cool. That's really cool. Well, let's move on to the comic book world.
Sure.
Now, there's been a lot of announcements. I know you were at San Diego, and even before that, they announced that you were part of Final Crisis. I remember Dan DiDio saying that we're very excited. We've got a one-shot coming from Brad. He's got time now.
So, a nice Dan you got there.
Well, you know, every now and then. Tell us about the book. It's Final Crisis, Last Will and Testament.
Yeah, Last Will and Testament, and it is, you know, Dan came to me, and we talked about doing something together, and I always have done the books, you know, right after I finish one of the novels, I try to jump into a comic book, and this one just worked out really well with when I was finishing the book of Lies, and I said, you know, we were talking about all the things that we could do and possibly do this and then the other, and he was telling me about Final Crisis, and they were going to explode this and kill that and do that, and, you know, worlds will collide. And I just thought, you know what, that's great, but I can't beat Grant Morrison. As, you know, there's no one better doing it, and he should do what he does, and he doesn't need me to do that. And I said to him, can I do something totally different? I said, if you're going to blow everybody up, can I do The Night Before? And see what it's like the night before everyone has, you know, is facing their death. What do you do? And, you know, it just became so much of a more personal story. The story is, as you see now, you'll be able to see, is obviously it's about Deathstroke. And Geo-Force are really center stage. And, you know, the Batman stuff and the Superman stuff and the Wonder Woman stuff is all setting up things that are happening in the next year in the DC Universe. So they are vital, and the hints are right there. I mean, they're not even hints. They're just, you know, they're slaps across the face in some cases of what's coming. But I just, you know, I wanted to show, you know, death is coming. What do you do the night before? And there's only so many times you can have everyone going to their family and saying, I love you, Ma. I love you, Pa. I love you, too. And I just thought, you know, all these heroes, you know, they're all finding different things. And I thought, what if we have one finding God or not finding God? And one of them, you know, trying to find family, and some people are trying to find, you know, a new leaf and whether they should be, you know, turned to the side of good or not. And, you know, people self-examine when they think death is coming in a way that they never do otherwise. And, it suddenly realized it was all about conversion. And the best conversion of all and the biggest conversion of all is when I started asking the question of what about someone who's just still stuck on revenge and is just trying to find that, the closure that revenge would provide. And it was that story that really leads to Last Will and Testament.
Well, you know, it was amazing what you did with Red Tornado in that six-issue arc. And I know that Geo-Force is in good hands, but it's going to be interesting because certainly in your own story, Identity Crisis, you had Deathstroke staring down, you know, five or six heroes at once and obviously being more than a match for all of them except for the arrow that Ollie shoved into his socket.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this is going to be pretty cool. And I'm sure right now that the naysayers are going to be wondering how Geo-Force is going to handle Deathstroke. But I look forward to an exciting story. You know, taking it on the surface, a C-level character, and putting him on the big stage. And I think you've done it successfully, like I said, with the Tornado. And also these other JLA members that you introduced in your run that everyone was saying, really, you're bringing back Vixen? Do I really give a shit about Black Lightning? Do I, you know, I mean, is Roy really ready for the big stage? And they've become very good frontline heroes, and it was, I think, obviously for the 12 issues that you put together.
Well, I appreciate it, you know, but the truth is, you know, I know the cliche is there are no bad characters, just bad writers and blah, 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 and that's all great and good. But the question is the story good, and what does it do to the character? And you know, you can't do Superman contemplating death, or you can, but, you know, it's just, everyone would scream and yell, and listen, I already scream and yell for my head, but the truth is it's just, I don't believe it. I don't really believe it for a second. Even when Wonder Woman killed Maxwell Lord, it's all behind, you know, the eye of, well, I had to save the whole world to do it, and therefore it's justified. And I just thought, you know what, life is just not that simple and pretty for some people. And some people, you know, listen, Deathstroke at the end of the day killed this man's sister.
Yep.
And that is not forgotten. That doesn't go away. And this is, Last Will and Testament was certainly, you know, if there was a 13th issue of Justice League that I was doing, this was the next story arc. It's what, you know, and when I talked to Dan at the time and said, you know, I can wrap up this Deathstroke thing and this Geo-Force thing, and we actually talked about it being handled elsewhere.
Okay.
When we couldn't do that, I said, I know exactly what I want to do, because it just, it's not a Geo-Force story. It's not a Deathstroke story. You know, it's a story about what it means to be a hero. And that is the story that we've been trying to tell since Identity Crisis. And, you know, Dan said to me when we started, the only thing I ask is keep Identity Crisis in mind and see if you can bookend that. And I certainly didn't sit there and go, oh, I'm gonna keep it in mind and try and rip myself off into a sequel. But, you know, what I did keep in mind is this is the only story I know how to tell. The only story I know how to tell is those small, quiet character moments. It's what I love, and it's with the characters I love. And, you know, if I said to you that I'm going to try and sell you a miniseries about the death of Sue Dibney, you wouldn't buy it, but it was Identity Crisis. That's what it was.
You bet.
And that's what, you know, I think what we did in Tornado's Path and what we did in JLA 11 or even what we did with the Legion of Superheroes, which we got to bring back in Lightning Saga, is, you know, we said kind of trust us and let's just see if we can get the emotion right. And if we get the emotion right, we'll hopefully earn your love for the character, as, you know, so you see this character as beautifully as we see it.
Let's talk about JLA 11, because you won the Eisner for that with Gene Ha. Again, as you say, a small story that, first of all, I loved the genius of blacking out most of the panels. And really just having, you know, because of the fact that they were underground and they were trapped, I mean, that it really, you know, it confined the story, and it was such a great way to present Gene's art. And it's, you go from things like Top Ten and his graphic novel with Alan Moore as well, The 49ers, where Gene, you can really put him on a wide canvas and have so many crazy little things going on. But this was a very contained story, both in narrative and visually.
Yeah, no, you know, I said to him, you know, the script is this incredibly complex, you know, kind of description of these thumbnails, and I'm telling, to me, one of the best artists in comics, you know, that we're going to shrink his panels with every page, that you really get the sense that the space is shrinking, and I'm just thinking, why am I typing this for this guy? Because, you know, I have no business telling this guy what to draw, and Gene humored me, and needless to say, I think the story only came out the way it did because Gene drew it. I mean, really. And that's why you believed it, because what Gene does is he makes you believe that it's real. And and more than just about anybody out there makes you believe that people can walk around in capes and utility belts, and it looks totally like it should be.
Who's drawing Final Will and Testament?
It is drawn actually by Adam Kubert.
Oh, great. I forgot about
and,
that, yes.
I will tell you that we have a, it was incredible, like, just really twist of anything is, when we were coming up with it, my mom passed away when I was writing the book. Adam's mother passed away while he was drawing the book.
Wow.
And we just didn't know if the book was going to be finished, but it had to be because it was happening between these two issues of Final Crisis. So we called our buddy Rags Morales to come in and do the vignettes the same way he did in Identity Crisis. And then Adam is such a pro that he said, I love this story, and I'm, even though with everything happening in my life right now, I'm going to finish it. And sure enough, he did. So I won't spoil the surprise, but it's wild to see two versions.
Oh, wow. That's okay.
And, you know, it just is, you know, it was, again, you'll see the takes, but I think it's something that is really, truly special.
Well, you know, they always put you with good guys, man. That goes for your 12 issues of JLA. And, you know, going back to that JLA Zero that you started with, I see the similarity in tone to that, where you had those moments of past, present, and future. It is those little moments, I think, that you do best. And I look forward to it, because there's so much character, and we've, you know, Bendis has said this before, we've seen, you know, the fights a million times, but it's what they're saying when they're going through these things. That's the moments where you can really have a new take on a story and a new take on a hero.
Sure. Oh, the fight in Last Will and Testament between Geo-Forth and Deathstroke, you know, again, how many times can I show how great Deathstroke is? But it's all about the emotion and what happens and the decision that Geo-Forth makes at the end that matters. That's the whole story. It's not who gets what punch in or whether it's a left or a right cross. You know, that's you know, as important as what color the costume is. What matters is what the men are thinking underneath.
Let's go back for a second to Lightning Saga. Look at what's happening now with Jeff's Legion of Three Worlds.
Legion of Three Worlds was actually written, he wrote that into Lightning Saga. In fact, he had the first splash page, I think, of his second issue showed the other Legions, but then they decided to pull it out and save it for the surprise. So, you know, to Jeff's credit, he's been planning a long time. I mean, I will say that of all the things that we've been able to do in comics, one of the ones I'm most proud of is that we had some silly small hand in bringing back the true Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
damn it, I missed it.
Me too, man. And honestly, that's taking nothing away from a lot of guys have done really tough jobs.
And I love them, and I like them. I just always felt like, but don't say the others don't exist. I don't want to say yours don't exist. And that's the beauty of what you'll see what Jeff is doing there is there's no reason to say one exists and one doesn't. Everyone can kind of all come to the party.
That's great. Well, and also just the importance of, I think, Superman. I mean, he really was. I mean, he's the reason why they came up with those characters in the first place, and to leave him out of the story, it was just always this waiting for Godot that was never fulfilled.
Well, especially when our whole introduction was, this guy inspired us.
Yes.
And then you say, well, or maybe not.
yeah. Absolutely, man. That's too much. Well, that's great, Brad. I'm really glad. Now, you know, obviously everyone is going to wonder, because this is a one-shot, and now you are done with your novel. Do you have time, or is the television project going to kind of screw you from being able to stick around comics for a while?
I've been working on the TV thing for a little bit now, and, you know, again, I've said from the start my goal is not to be doing anything but writing novels and then writing comics. And if I wanted to be in TV, the first thing I should have done after Jack and Bobby is pitch another TV show and capitalize on whatever critical success we had. Instead, I elected to do Justice League and didn't even pitch a thing. And what I should have done after that is pitch another TV show. Instead, I did the book of Lies, you know, a book about who killed Jerry Siegel's father and the missing murder weapon that Kane used to kill Abel and the weapon as it relates to Superman and the death of Jerry Siegel's father. Again, not my brightest maybe business move, but it's what I loved and it's what I care about, and I'm so proud of the book of Lies for that. So, I guess I should be smarter and pitching TV shows. This one just happened because Jeff Marks and I, you know, one of the creators of Avenue Q, calls me up and says, hey, and we start talking about this TV idea. You know, I'd be a schmuck not to I stepped right into it. I might as well, you know, follow through and you know, take the full dive. But the reality is I don't plan any of my time in terms of doing that. I plan my time going on to the next novel. I'm already working on what the idea is, and the goal is to write another comic book after that.
Okay, so we will have to wait for the next novel before.
Yeah, next novel comes first.
Okay, man. That's all right. You got it. Bread and butter, no problem. We understand. But that's great, man. Well, are you going to tie in? Because I really thought it was a brilliant move to put the first chapter of the Book of Fate in that first issue of JLA. Are you going to do any cross-promotion as well?
This time you're going to see it in my next comic book project. You're going to see it, or you will have seen it by the time you're hearing this, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the new issue.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know you were part of the project.
Yeah, you see the Book of Lies in there, and obviously, you know, working on that is also one of those geek dreams come true.
Can you, without spoiling anything, tell us anything about your Buffy story?
You know, I'm at the end. That's all I can tell you. So the ending, you know, endings are hard.
Oh, you're
endings
at the end of season.
Mess. Endings are, spectacular, and because they're the ending. So just to even be near there is so exciting to me. I can't even possibly express. But that also means I took the blood oath and can't possibly say a word about what's going on.
I understand. No problem. So you're doing the wrap-up of Season 8?
I'm going to be – I think what it is and I have to – Joss and I couldn't tell you exactly what issue it's going to be. Because
okay.
He's the one who has the master wipe-off board in his head. but I think I have the penultimate arc, and then, listen, I should not be writing the ending. He needs to be writing the ending, too. It's his baby. But I know that I'm near the ending, so that's
okay.
A good thing.
All right. Very cool. You know, I can't – and forgive me, but as a Whedon fan – thinking about Last Will and Testament, I immediately think of that last episode of Angel as well that had that wonderful scene of what does everybody do the day before they know they're going to die. And
yeah,
we have different characters
there,
but, you know.
You know, they certainly are in there. Don't fight Deathstroke.
No, they don't. No, that why, you know, I guess no superhero is going to do any slam poetry the way Spike did either, if you remember that.
Although I will say that we try to live Rocky Davis from the Challenge Zone, though, and give him a little run for his money on that.
Well, very cool. Now, I should ask you while I have you a couple other, you know, geek subjects that I'm sure debate wise have come up. Are Barry Allen coming back? Are you for it?
You know, the funny thing was, I probably shouldn't even say this, but years ago, I'm talking years ago.
Okay.
we talked about bringing him back. And I can't tell you who else, but it'll be pretty obvious what I'm talking about. We actually said, oh, we should never do that. And then, you know, again, a couple of years go later, and I go, of course, that's exactly what should happen. I always said, you know, we once made a list. Jeff and I on the phone once made a list of characters that should never be brought back from the dead. And I will tell you that, you know, as we were talking about it, I remember we were just saying, who should never be brought back? And we said, Barry Allen should never come back. And then we're like, yeah, maybe, you know, whatever. And then I remember we said Bucky should never come back. And right. Both of us went, that Gwen Stacy should never come back. We're like, absolutely, should never come back, should never come back. And then we're like, and Bucky should never come back. And we're both like, yeah. And then both of us were like, well, that would be cool. And so more power, you know. And then obviously this is well before Brubaker did his thing. And you know, you realize, again, when you start considering who should never come back, that's the perfect person to, of course, bring back, although I still maintain that Gwen Stacy should never, ever come back.
Yeah, I agree with that, and, that'd be tough. There was just so many levels to that story. You wonder if how much, you know, and taking nothing away from Jerry Conway, he's such a fine writer and, you know, writes his ass off for Law & Order and has for over a decade now, but, you know, God, just that one panel of the neck snapping.
That was the perfect, that's where Image meets, you know, the writer meets artist, and it's just perfect.
Yeah, and it really, think about that. That's when, you know, they were writing to 12-year-olds, as opposed to today's writer, where I think you guys are writing to a 20-something audience
think they were writing to 12-year-olds, or if they were, they weren't treating us like 12-year-olds, which is why, I mean, listen, why did we love Watchmen? I was 14, 13 years old when Watchmen came out, and I just remember going, oh, man, what's that?
Yeah.
What is it? I didn't even really appreciate it all. I didn't even really get it all. But, man, it was different, and it rocked me for that. And why? Because it didn't treat me like a kid. So, you know, I always maintain that those best stories you love when you were little, like, sure, you love some of the Golden Age silly stuff, and you love some of the Red Kryptonite stories and, you know, things where kooky things happened. And those were fun when you were really, really little. But, you know, the moment you hit, like, 11, 12 years old, if you didn't get one of those Gwen Stacy stories, you left comics.
Yeah.
The people who stayed are the ones who get those stories. And, you know, that's what kept us going all these years.
You know, and you're right, and taking it back to the Book of Lies and Jerry Siegel, you know, people forget, or maybe they don't do the research and realize how many important Superman stories he told beyond the origin when he came back to DC.
It's my favorite story. When he came back, you know, people always say, well, how do you know for sure, you know, he was so obsessed with his dad? And the story that Jerry Siegel wrote when he came back to his creation, you know, and I think this was in the late 60s, you know, he'd been gone from Superman. He hadn't been around. He had gone well without him. And he comes back. They finally give him his creation back to tell a story with. And the story he tells is that Superman goes back to the planet Krypton. He goes back in time, and he sees Jor-El, and he sees his dad, and he somehow puts on some disguise so that Jor-El doesn't know it's him.
Right.
And he has this moment where he can save Krypton, and he knows that if he saves Krypton, he will cease to be, because he won't be Superman anymore. He has to give up his entire existence. He has to give up his entire life. But in that moment, he looks at his father, and he makes a decision that he'd rather be nothing and be no one than to lose his father, that his father meant that much to him, that he'll sacrifice himself. And then, of course, comics being comics, he gets bumped into a rocket and he gets taken off the planet and Krypton explodes. And he comes home with the knowledge that, you know, for everything he has and all the strength he has, he could save everyone, but he couldn't save his own father. He could never save his father. And that's the story that Jerry Siegel tells when he comes back to his creation. So it is so clear to me, you know, and you'll see the other things in the Book of Lies, you know, stories that, I mean, even the things that are in the novel about Jerry Siegel and what is real and what the family's name really is and where they really come from. I mean, these were things that their own family didn't know. And I just loved pulling apart and finding out and saying, you know, why did the world really get Superman? And it is not because America's the greatest country on earth. It's because a little boy lost his father. And, you know, I love kind of digging that story and trying to find out what really happened.
Well, Brad, we're sorry that we're not going to see more comic book stuff until the next novel, but we have this novel to tie us over, The Book of Lies. Congratulations, and really good luck.
Thanks so much.
And so we leave the Hall of Justice and author Brad Meltzer, but fear not, for on the next episode of Word Balloon, part 2 of our talk with Brad Meltzer. He gets into the Book of Lies and more about the strange parallel between the murder of Abel by Cain's hands and the death of Mitchell Siegel, the father of Superman's creator.
Well, what can I say? This is what happens when you record at 1 o'clock in the morning. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks a lot for listening. Word Balloon is brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you can get up to 35% off each book, whether it's a hardcover, a softcover, trade paperbacks, archives editions, omnibus editions, and more. All orders over $50 receive free shipping. And don't forget, you can get two great deals regarding stories by Brad Meltzer. The hardcover editions of Justice League of America, Volumes 1 and 2, that covers the whole run. Each one, the standard retail price is $24.99, but at InStockTrades.com, just $15.74. Don't forget to visit their sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order monthly needs. And you can find deals on major publishers up to 40% on monthly books. For all the details, check out their websites, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com, and InStockTrades at InStockTrades.com. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress saying, fear not. You know, we're near the end of August. There's still more Word Balloons coming up before we reach Labor Day. So stick around, and it's going to be a great September. It looks like the Bendis tapes will be coming up then. Got a few more big names waiting in the wings to come on and join us on Word Balloon. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2008.